Yeah.
Life has gotten unbearable, so they are willing to move forward. And that often is the case.
Oftentimes that's the case. You're right. And that's why, oftentimes you find people when do people go for counseling? When they're one day away from signing the divorce papers and you're going, oh my gosh. A little late now. But they realize then the bottom's falling out. When do you do an intervention with a drunk? When they're stuck and they can't go any further. And so somebody steps in and says, this is going to stop. Because they're just wallowing in the midst of it. And they can't get out of that cycle. So.
Well, is there any wonder that many people have trouble forming a relationship with God when they can't even form relationships with each other? I mean, look at marriage today. How many work on the relationship and actually try to have a relationship?
Very few, because in our culture, I'm done. We walk away from it. Okay. And again, I don't. That's a challenge in our culture because we made it so easy. But what's that? Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, how long you probably almost blue in the face. Well, let me finish it, fill that in, because I think you brought up a good point.
What's the point?
The point was, why do we today celebrate feast or special days, however you want to put that. Okay. What Paul was speaking to in Galatians is, you are observing days and weeks, seasons and years. You are doing, you, in the context of his letter, Paul is saying you are doing things in order to add to the gospel. You are doing things that somehow you think will make you part of the chosen few. You are doing something to improve upon the message of the gospel of Christ. Does Paul have a problem in his rest of it? And we looked at this earlier, but Paul hammered, if you remember, he hammered circumcision. And he does that in if you read through Philippians, you think he hammers it hard here. In Philippians, he goes ahead and says, I wish they'd just cut the thing off. And you go, whoa, Paul, okay, that hurts. But he goes on and he nails it. But does Paul in Corinthians, he doesn't have a problem. Did Paul have... In Galatians, did he compel Titus to be circumcised? No. In Acts, did he compel Timothy to be circumcised? Yes, he did. Paul says, circumcision, that's not the point. The point is, why are you doing it? In Galatians, they were doing circumcision. They were doing, well, it appears... that they were doing, if you will, the days, weeks, that inroad had been made. But it doesn't appear, if you look at Galatians 5:2, that circumcision has been made yet. They haven't yet crossed that boundary. They're bumping up against it, but they haven't yet crossed it. And so Paul's point is you are trying to add to complete the gospel, so to speak. But Paul was a Jew. And if you read the book of Acts, at one point, he wanted to get to Jerusalem for Passover. So Paul didn't have a problem celebrating the feast per se. He didn't have a problem with circumcision per se. His problem was when it became part of the requirement to become a believer. Okay? We have some of that in our culture. I call them Christers. They're people that come to church on Christmas and Easter. They're the Christers. Why do they do that? Well, because, well, I'm in the church. I mean, that's all I need, right? So in some sense, that happens. But is it wrong to celebrate Christmas? Is it wrong to? Of course not. Now, if you think that if you miss Easter and you miss Christmas because you were out of the country or you didn't buy a gift and, oh man, oh, God's going to... You've missed the point. Does that make sense? Okay. So it's the adding to the gospel that... But the things in and of themselves, and Paul even makes that point. If you read Romans 14, 5 to 6, Paul talks about days and weeks. You know, one man esteems one day, one man esteems another day, one man esteems all days the same. We have liberty in Christ. So it's not about the days. It's when the day becomes the must. You know, ooh, now we're in dangerous territory. And sometimes that's, okay, we're done. Oh, by the way, my parents are leaving next week, so I just wanted them to know that we're actually going to finish Galatians, so I'm going to say amen, because that's the last word in Galatians. So there you go. We finished Galatians.
You're sure?
No, but I said the last word. Exactly, for them. And if you think, anyway. Questions? Any questions? One, two questions for tonight.
So that's what we have in the Jewish root denomination or thinking or theology. That do you think that they're mixing the whole Jewish root with Christ? Because there's a lot of good Christians that's in Jewish root. They're making you feel that you ought to go back to those Jewish roots.
Right. I would, first of all, my caveat or my disclaimer is I can only speak to that from what I know about them. I haven't been to any of their meetings, that kind of thing. It, from what I know, it does appear that they want, if they're not at the point, it appears they're getting to the point of you must celebrate the feast. You must do Sabbath, not Sunday, but Saturday. And there's a following of the law. And that is a broader movement than just Hebrew roots or the Jewish root, whatever they call it. Part of that is fueled, I think, by a desire to all of us, would you please show me where the boundaries are? All of us want that implicitly. When you buy a piece of property, what do you do? I want to see where the boundaries are. I want to know exactly what I own. Okay? So there's something, we like to know where the parameters are. So there's something very attractive about that. I think it goes off base in a couple ways. One, because it almost makes it a requirement that you celebrate the feast, that you do practice Sabbath. Okay. Another way I think it goes off base, in order to get to that, you have to take much of what Paul wrote and chuck it. I fail to understand how you can do that kind of thing and read the book of Galatians honestly and go, you can't bring those two together. Well, I'm always going to fall back to the book of Galatians or Romans or whatever rather than what this says. So that's part of it. But it's a broader movement than that, and that is there's a movement in some circles goes by one of two names, theonomy or reconstructionism. And basically the underpinnings of theonomy is a desire that if only we in the United States would go back to the Mosaic Law, we could fix our country. Okay? If we would just go back to the law that says, you know, thou shalt not steal. Well, okay, we got that, but we get away with all sorts of things. And it's more a very regimented seeking to impose God as dictator over our country. And you're going, okay, that doesn't work. We have a civil government. We don't have a theocratic government. So it's broader than just Hebrew roots. There's also movements within other, you know, groups seeking to, if you will, impose the Old Testament law back on civil society for today. And, you know, my question to something like that is, how'd that work for the Jews? Not so good. He, if you read Galatians 3, he freed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Because we talked about, you know, a while back that the law, part of the purpose of the law was to, oh yeah, here's your sin. Oh my, shoot. And we recognize that in Jesus Christ, he perfectly fulfilled the law. So in him, I too have perfectly fulfilled the law without fulfilling it in my body, because I can't do that.
But in Timothy, when it says all scripture,
yes,
is I for teaching, blah, 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 that includes
Leviticus.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
So how?
That's a good question. How does, you know, Paul says all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, rebuke, correction, and training in righteousness. What, you know, I talked to somebody today, you know, they were reading through the book of Judges. What the heck do we learn from the book of Judges? I said, a lot. You can learn from the book of Judges that we're toast. In that, read the book of Judges and you go, man, left to himself, we will always choose the wrong way. Every single time. We can learn God calls us to be a separate people. Now we need to discern what does that mean as believers in this culture? What does that look like? I can be referring to Leviticus or Judges. It doesn't really matter. But even Leviticus. What is, you know, I was reading in the book of Numbers today about God, or through Moses, spoke to, he gave through Aaron very specific directions, jobs for the sons of Gershom, the sons of Merari, that's not the right word, but Merari. Something like that. And the sons of Kohath, priest. So that when the tent came down, and then in celebration of this, the leaders of Israel came with 12 oxen and 12 carts, or something like that, 6 carts, I don't know. And Moses gave 2 carts to Gershom, because when the camp moved out, they were to carry the poles and the sockets for the tent. They gave 4 carts to the sons of Moriah because they were to carry, you know, the altar and make sure all of that stuff got transported. They didn't give any to the sons of Kohath because they were to carry the holy objects on their shoulder. And so you look at that and you go, okay, what do I learn from that? What is God trying to teach me from those kind of things? One, I think there's division of roles within the body. Okay. Some of us are called to carry some things. Some of us are called to carry others. Okay. So, I mean, I'm just kind of drawing general principles. You can look at Leviticus 18, and you read through Leviticus 18, and you're going, yeah, I get the point. Don't sleep with your mom or your grandma or your aunt or your daughter, or don't uncover this person or that person, or I got it. And we go, okay, I get it. What do we learn from that? Well, in our culture, we missed the point because we have taken the sacredness of sexuality and reduced it to the profane. And God calls us in Leviticus to hold that up and say, this is very sacred. So I would suggest when you read through Leviticus and you read through, you go, okay, you know, when it says, do not boil a kid in its mother's milk, what am I supposed to do with that? And I would suggest we back the proverbial camera up and go, okay, what is God trying to teach us here? What are the principles that we can take that are timeless principles? We obviously don't observe the rituals, the ceremonies. But is there anything we can learn from that? Yes, there is. They were to keep the menorah lit all the time. Well, the menorah sheds light. Last time I checked, I read somewhere in a good book that it says, be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit represents light. So God was trying to teach those people, you know what? My light needs to always be lit in your life. And Paul made that clear in Ephesians. Be filled. In the sense there in Ephesians, is it's a continuous verb, continuous action. So we are called also, just like the menorah, they always had to, oh, hey, time to fill the oil, Levi. Oh yeah, okay. Don't want the light to go out. Because God said, don't ever let the light go out. And so you read that and you go, I don't think he wants the light to go out in me either. So that's kind of, I think,
So the people that you were discussing about before are not looking at, quote, big picture. They're looking at specific.
Yes. I think they're getting lost in the minutiae. And like I said, I think part of the way, especially back to the Hebrew roots thing, part of what happens there is they diminish the authority of Scripture in that they diminish the authority of Paul. I don't think you can do an honest reading of Paul and also say we must celebrate and observe. I don't know. You can't put those two together. Is it wrong to observe? No, that's not the point. The point is saying I must observe. And I've said that before. I'll say it again. I think it'd be fun sometime for a group like this to come together. Hey, let's do a Passover. Or let me walk you through, the Feast of Sukkot. Or some of that stuff. You go, oh, man, there's some good stuff there. Yeah, there is. Well, are we going to do it next year? I don't know. Who cares? That's not the point. The point is to learn from it and say, what is God trying to teach us? And I think even on the, all the males had to come to Jerusalem for the Passover, Feast of Shavuot, Pentecost, and the Feast of Sukkot or Tabernacles. And the Feast of Sukkot Tabernacles was a week-long feast. So if ever you think God doesn't like to party, you need to read your Bible. And go, man, God called these people to celebrate. Yes, he did. Again and again, on a yearly basis. Don't forget. Why? Because just like today, I believe that the people of the world should be able to look at the church and see, as one guy says, the laughter of the redeemed. Because, and let me close with this, Paul said, however, at that time, you were enslaved to things that were no gods. But now, you've been adopted. Ah, yes. Let's party. Okay, we're going to close in prayer. And it's close to 8:30. So, Father God, we thank you again for this time we could spend together. We thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for your mercy, for your Spirit, who opens our minds and our hearts to better grasp and understand and Allow your word to penetrate our hearts and so that we may be transformed. Lord, go with us as we leave this place and bring us again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.